It's time for Talks About Tech Weekly, recorded on the 2nd of September 2012. Today is episode 40 of Talks About Tech Weekly. You're very welcome to Talks About Tech Weekly, episode 40. Today, I am your host, Michael McAndrew, and I am joined today, again, by Kev McAndrew. Last week, Kevin, you were gone.
Thank you. Yes, I was gone.
Yeah, we had Derek Coughlin filling in for you, mm-hmm. We had a great episode. We were talking about lots of stuff. It was good fun. However, we didn't miss you, your input. So welcome back.
Thank you.
To the show. All right. Today we have some very interesting things to talk about, starting off with IFA 2012. And this is a European tech conference held in Berlin every year. And, you know, a lot of companies like Samsung, kind of European companies that are aimed more towards the European market, they mm-hmm. will be the companies who will actually release products at this expo. And there's been some really interesting products that have been announced and even released at this conference, which, because I haven't really heard of IFA that much, but some very interesting things, tech stuff has been announced. Starting off with something, I kind of picked out some interesting things that I saw from IFA, because I've been keeping track on what's going on at IFA. Mm-hmm. So I saw something that I found really cool, which was the Samsung Galaxy camera, right? This is a, you know, Samsung new cameras. It's just a normal 16 megapixel camera. The cool thing is, if you flip around the other side of the camera, there's no buttons. It's just a touch screen, a capacitive touch screen. 4.8 inch capacitive touch screen. And it's just really cool.
Yep.
And it's, I really like it. I really do like it. The design is amazing. It just looks really cool.
Mm-hmm.
So what's your opinion on this, Kevin?
What's the quality of the camera on the Galaxy S3 at the moment?
8 megapixels.
Okay.
Yeah, so this is a really, 16 megapixel sensor mm-hmm. is really, really good, right? And it's really cool because it's like a phone in the way you interact with it, but it's got so many camera settings. It's a dedicated camera. It's a really, in my opinion, really cool form factor. What's your opinion on it, anyway?
I like it. I haven't seen it yet, but 4.8 is, it's pretty big when you think about it, you know, for a camera especially. But
It's very, very much, the appearance, it looks very much like a smartphone. It's just really, really nice device. I really do like it. And I would definitely, if I'm looking to buy a camera now, maybe go for this over a slightly cheaper camera that has the same quality image, just because of ease of use. It just looks really, really cool. And it's mm-hmm. a lot better than cameras with resistive touch screens. You get a lot of that on cameras these days. So this is a full capacitive touchscreen. Same touchscreen, 720p touchscreen. The same one that's out of the Galaxy S3, which is a very, very sweet touchscreen. So this is definitely going to be a great photo viewer as well as a camera.
Mm-hmm.
I just really like that. The next thing is, Samsung has announced so much stuff here. They're such a big company, so they're constantly announcing stuff. So they announced a new Windows phone, the Windows Phone 8. I absolutely think this is a great device. It's 4.8-inch screen, 1.5 gigahertz, dual-core processor, and a beautiful Super AMOLED display, by the way. You know, most Windows Phone 7 phones were, they had kind of, you know, that they were kind of limited to, I think, a 4-inch screen, single core processors, there were no dual core processor models. Mm-hmm. And you're also limited to, you know, because of driver issues, you were limited in what hardware you could make for the software. Because Microsoft was controlling the specific hardware. And it took a long time for Microsoft to update it. Windows Phone 8 will allow you to use bigger display sizes, faster processors, a dual-core processor in this case. So it's definitely... going to be a very interesting device. What's your opinion on this? Do you think this will improve Windows Phone sales?
Yes, I do think that it'll improve Windows Phone sales because Samsung have just been working on Android for the moment. You know, they haven't really been reaching into different platforms such as Windows Phone.
Well, no,
8,
they had a Windows Phone 7.
Oh, really?
Phone. Yeah, and okay. That was it was the Captivate, I think. It was quite a popular Windows Phone 7 phone. I'm just going to say Windows Phone 7. It was quite a popular Windows Phone 7 at the beginning, but there was a lot of issues with SIM cards, and that was actually down to the software not having very good compatibility with SD cards and things like that. So there were issues there with that. So, but, you know, with Windows Phone 8, you have a lot better hardware compatibility, I suppose, which is going to be good, right?
Yeah. But as you were saying, how Samsung is such a big company, I'm kind of surprised that they're not actually making their own platform themselves. You know what I mean? Because they make so many things, like make TVs, cameras, phones, and all that, but they don't actually make their own software. They use other software. Like for the TVs and stuff, they probably do, but for the phones, these Android...
For their feature phones, they use... For their feature phones, they use their own custom-made operating system. So for their, you know, I don't want to call them builder's phones, but, you know, they do have a builder's phone.
Yeah.
And, that, you know, most of their kind of 20-euro, 30-euro phones
like
use...
Like Samsung Cobble and different things like that.
Yeah, they use the their own custom... operating system. Very simple. The problem is, the reason why they haven't built their own smartphone operating system is because Android is already in the market.
Yeah.
Windows Phone 7 and Windows Phone to be Windows Phone 8 is already in the market.
Mm-hmm.
So, what's the point of making your own software?
Well, I guess
it just won't be able to compete. You will not have the same kind of software sales, right?
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I mean, at the beginning they tried it, but it just didn't work because the iPhone, the operating system, is just so much better. It's really about the App Store. What is the incentive? Let's say Samsung did come out with software.
Yeah, all the apps.
What's the incentive for developers to make software for the Samsung operating system? Whereas Android is across so many platforms now, it just completely makes sense for developers to make an Android app.
Mm-hmm.
So it's too late now for Samsung. They did attempt it at the beginning, but their interface just wasn't as nice, right? And they do kind of have their own operating system because they put their own flavor on Android. If you see Android as the kind of base, and then they put their own design on Android, so you can still take full advantage of the Play Store, but you can custom skin it yourself.
Yeah.
That's the whole idea with Samsung and their TouchWiz, is that they're kind of making their own operating system. They're making their own front end, but you can still access the Play Store and other things like that. So I think that's the whole idea over that.
Yep.
So now they have as regards Windows Phone 8, there are new Nokia Lumia phones coming out with better specs as well. The Nokia Lumia phones did not do well.
Mm-hmm.
They just didn't do well at all in the market at the beginning. Well, when they took off, they did very well, and then it just kind of dropped. So, with these new phones, I don't think it's the hardware. That's the thing. The hardware was pretty good.
Mm-hmm.
It's just...
the software.
Yeah, I mean, people just aren't going for Windows Phone 7. And everybody thought 2012 would be the year of Windows Phone 7 or Windows Phone 8. And you know what? The year isn't over yet. But being realistic...
yeah.
Well,
there aren't... you know, Android has so many more phones than Windows Phone 7. You have to remember that as well, in a much bigger market then. So, yeah, I don't think it'll really pick off or start off again by the end of the year, you know?
Yeah, yeah. So, it'll be interesting to see how it fans out. And, I mean, I like Windows Phone 7 and Windows Phone 8. It's a good idea. It's very easy to use, which means be great for a user who is transitioning from your normal phone to a smartphone. You know, because it's very easy to get into the internet. If you use a Windows computer, then already, then you have Internet Explorer. You can just click on that. It's very easy, especially if you use Windows, to transition over to a Windows Phone 7.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a great idea. People just aren't going for it. They rather go with Android. I mean, they thought that Windows Phone 7 would kind of fit the gap between Android and iPhone. iPhone being complete simplicity, and Android being complete customizability. You get a bit in between there. You can customize your color schemes, etc. And it's familiar, as in like it's got similar terminology to Windows. So mm-hmm. they tried to get it in there. And you know what? There are people who love Windows Phone 7. And I like it. But for me, it's too easy to use because I'm an Android user. So I love the customizability of Android. Whereas with Windows Phone 7, it's just not as customizable.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, next thing I found very interesting is the HP Envy 2. Now, on Midweek Tech, we were talking about tablets, and I was talking about the future of tablets, and I was saying, well, the future of tablets will be the past of tablets, which is, it's a laptop that can kind of transform into a tablet. It's mm-hmm. it's a tablet that has the same or even more power than a laptop. And it has like a magnetic Bluetooth keyboard and trackpad that you can detach from the device very easily. So you can use this. This is the whole idea of Windows 8. You can use it as a normal computer. It would be great for like work and things like that if you're going abroad. You can use your word processing and all that. And you can type on your keyboard and trackpad. And then if you want to go into tablet mode, you can very easily do that by just attaching it and using it as a tablet. That's mm-hmm. what I thought. And this is actually, the MV2 is coming very close to that. It's going more towards the past where you couldn't detach the keyboard and trackpad.
Mm-hmm.
But you could kind of fold it away. I remember the Dell X1.
Yes.
I think had that, and I absolutely loved it. I thought it was amazing. Of course, I never got my hands on one, but because it was my like dream laptop. But that was kind of the past. But the problem with it was the touchscreen technology just wasn't good enough. So now it is, and this new HP Envy 2, first of all, looks amazing. Really, really beautiful design. Very similar to the MacBook Air. However, it does have a touchscreen on it. So it's kind of designed for Windows 8. I think this is going towards what Microsoft had intended for Windows 8, where you have a touchscreen integrated in the device. It's got an 11.6-inch display touchscreen display, so you can scroll through your Metro interface very nicely. So I think this is going to be interesting to see what it's like. I really want to get my hands on one and just try it out, try out the what the touchscreen is like with Windows 8, because this is a new form factor that hasn't really been tested on Windows 8. And also, what I'd be really interested to try Windows 8 on is the all-in-one PCs with the touchscreens.
Yes.
I know a friend who has an all-in-one PC, to try Windows 8 with that and see what that's like. Of course, it is a very big screen real estate compared to an 11.6-inch. So is it going to work on the bigger screen? I don't know. I'd have to try it out. But it'd be interesting to see what happens there. Because Windows 7 just... For the all-in-one PCs with the touchscreens, Windows 7 just is not designed for that. And it's kind of a bit impractical.
Yeah.
So I'm going to keep an eye on that new HP Envy 2, because I'm really interested in it. And we might as well move on to the new device that we talked about on last week's show, the new Galaxy Note 2, which has been shown off with its 1.6 gigahertz quad-core processor, which is really cool, but the size of the screen is crazy. It's really big. They even made it bigger this time. So it's a really big phablet.
It's almost a tablet.
What do you think of this? Just like who can make the biggest phone? kind of concept.
Well, I think we'll be using in the near future. I think we'll be actually using tablets as phones, because you can actually use tablets as phones, but people just use phones. But the thing about this whole thing with who can make the biggest phone, I don't think, like, for me, it's not about the size of the screen. I like a kind of small, compact phone that I can bring around. But I guess what they're trying to do is get a better experience for the user, because, again, it is a bigger screen, you know, different things like that, but I don't know what you'd use it for. It is impractical.
Now, it does have the pen, the stylus. And you know what? A lot of people who have the original Galaxy Note just said, you might think it's absolutely ridiculous, but I have this phone and I really do like it. I think it's kind of designed for people with big, chubby fingers who find it hard to work on a normal smartphone. It is a big, big screen. 5.4 inches, I think. 5.2 inches. About 5 inches, we'll say. And, you know, the Dell Streak, if you remember the Dell Streak, the Dell Streak came out before the Note, about a year or two before the Note. And Kevin's falling asleep there. Let me just take it. So, is my conversation boring? Is it, Kevin?
No.
The Dell Streak came out before the Galaxy Note, and it wasn't a success at all. It ran Android and everything, but it just did not work out. Was it maybe that Dell were making it? And it was just because most of Dell's customers are kind of enterprise customers.
Yeah.
He was like a bit weird for Dell. But it didn't do very well, but the Samsung Galaxy Note has really done very well, and now they've come out with the Note 2. So I just wanted to talk a bit about that. A new Panasonic TV, 8K TV. There, before this new TV, there was no, we'll say, somewhat consumer technology. There was no professional gear available, right? It was in labs somewhere, right? That's the only place you could actually get to see 8K.
Mm-hmm.
And Panasonic, they were showing off their new 145-inch 8K display. This, let me just tell you how many pixels are in this thing. Across, 7,680. Down, 4,320. Your standard HD TV, 1080 or 1920 by 1080. So, down the way isn't the amount of pixels going down is not even the amount of pixels going across on your normal TV. Which is crazy. I mean, the amount of... But...
Can you buy this?
No. But it will be available sometime in the future for, like, $100,000 or something. But...
8K. Why would you want 8K?
That's exactly what I thought. Your eyes don't even pick up that much pixels, do they?
Unless you wanted to, like, go up to the screen and...
I mean, when you're seeing pixels, stuff, I mean, you can't see the pixels in the paper. It's, you know, so... Yeah. I suppose your eyes must have a fairly high resolution.
It's a bit... Like, 8K, though.
It's over the top. 4K is incredible.
And it is like, 145-inch, so... It's a pretty big screen.
Yeah.
So if you were to get that, you'd have to have an extra room for it, probably. You know.
Yeah, like your average TV is 42 inches.
Like if you had a cinema, like a home cinema, you could get one of those. Still 8K though, but you could get one of those and you could just use that, but I guess you'd have to be like a billionaire to get it. Because it is going to be like $100,000 when it comes out, so...
Yeah. Yeah. Well, we better move on to talk a bit about our Amazon announcement.
I guess you wouldn't want to smash it. Anyway. Yeah.
The Amazon announcement coming up on the 6th of September. We'll be covering that live at 6:30 p.m. I suppose it's GMT. I checked it up. It's BST, which actually, I believe, means British Summer Time. So, okay. That's 6:30 our time. Live coverage here on Talks About Tech, the 6th of September live. So, check that out. We talked a bit about what they will be maybe releasing at this conference. A new Kindle Fire. Now, I was keeping up to date on the rumors. We were talking about a 10-inch Fire. Possibly, and now the rumors are looking more like no, maybe not. Mm. Maybe 2 7-inch Fires instead of a 10-inch and 7-inch. So it could go any way. Now it's looking doubtful that there'll be a 10-inch Fire, which
unfortunately,
I'm disappointed because. And also another thing that I've seen is a subsidized Kindle Fire where. It's ad-based, so it's ad-supported.
Yeah.
An ad-supported Kindle Fire, you get it for much cheaper. Now, they did this with the Kindle. €79 for the Kindle with ads. €100 for it without ads. And so it benefits people because if you feel it's worth paying the extra money... To get the unsubsidized version, which is really subsidized, we talked about it on last week's show. Mm-hmm. The unsubsidized version without the ads, pay a bit extra, or are you willing to suffer going through those ads? Now, the ads are just little pop-up ads, you know, they're not very intrusive ads.
Loads of ads popping up
every,
on your screen.
Every 15 minutes, you're reading your book. Ah! That would be very, very annoying, but... hopefully it won't be that kind of ads, but you know they're talking about the concept. Not those stupid pop-up ads. Anyway,
but like if a 10-inch came out, I think it would be a great contender to the iPad, especially. You know?
That's what we were talking about. We were saying, "Whoa, what would this do to the iPad?" Yeah. And we didn't comment on you know rooting it and being able to put standard Android on it because. Because it's not really fair. But, you know, we'll be covering that live. 6:30, 6th of September.
I can't wait.
Yay! It's 3 days' time. check that out. And now I want to talk a bit about something new we're doing at Talks About Tech. We have set up something, and I want to talk to you about it. I want to talk to you about something. If you're shopping at Amazon, right, which you might be doing, if mm-hmm. you buy books online on Amazon, you can buy pretty much any product on Amazon. You could buy, there's a lot of products. We talked about the history of Amazon.
8K TVs.
Not quite. 4K, maybe. Well, we've set up an Amazon link. So if you click on the Amazon link on our website, it says support the show or support us by shopping at Amazon. You click on that link, it'll bring you to Amazon.com. And you can do your shopping. You can shop for whatever products you wish to buy. And it supports us. It helps us to grow. We get a small commission out of using our link. You can find it on the top of the sidebar on talksabouttech.com. So I really appreciate if you use it, our Amazon affiliate link. And, you know, it helps us here at Talks About Tech. So if you watch the show and you're looking to buy something on Amazon, just think of us, you know, because we have our link there, our Amazon mm-hmm. link. So you can use that if you wish. So this is something new that we kind of set up if you're shopping at Amazon. So, if you use it, well, thank you very much. Okay, we're going to move on. There's a funny ad break. First ad, it wasn't an ad break.
We're going to have to get like a big banner at the top with Amazon. Click yeah. here for a bonus prize.
Yeah, we're not going to be doing that. And hopefully, it's just something we're trying out, something new. So yeah. if any of you shop at Amazon, just think of us. If you want to support us.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't cost you anything. Right, Apple Conference, September 12th. We'll also be covering that live.
Yes.
Another announcement. An Apple Another announcement. Conference. Yeah, the last conference we covered was the iPad 3,
mm-hmm.
which was fun.
That was good.
Yeah, it was good fun. We it was back in the day. It was a long time ago last year, yeah. last April.
And we're going to be doing quite a few conferences coming up now. So.
Yeah, mm-hmm. So this Apple thing coming up on September 12th.
Mm-hmm.
We'll be covering that live as well, and I'll give you more details about what time we'll be covering it live. It's usually 10 San Francisco time, so that's 6 our time.
Yeah.
So we'll probably be on 6 p.m. GMT, but I'll give you the full details of our Apple announcement coverage thing. So I'm very excited about what Apple are going to be announcing. Course, the iPhone 5, which we talked about all the rumors and things like that, but there is a new rumor. You might be sick and tired of listening to the iPhone 5 with its new dock connector and its new camera and its new look. This is something that probably won't happen, but we'll talk about it anyway. But it's something that I would really love to see, and that is new earbuds with the new iPhone, because I actually have them here. These are the old earbuds.
Yes.
Old Apple earbuds. And, okay, they're made on a budget. they look cool, okay, to start off with. They're, you know, standard Apple design with its white plastic and it's designed and whatever place it's designed in, Cupertino, but they're not okay. I have to be truthful about this. They're not great sounding headphones, and they're not very comfortable. They're not the most comfortable headphones. Yeah. Of course, Apple does not design headphones; they design iPhones, right? So you know, earphones aren't going to be their top thing, but there is a rumor that they're going to bring out new earphones.
Yeah.
And I'm very excited about this because these old earphones have been around since the iPod. I mean, really.
I've
I have these. This set of headphones are from an iPod Nano from about
yeah
5 years ago.
Square. No. Wait, was it a square
Yeah,
one?
It was a square one. Yeah. That was my first ever iPod, and I absolutely loved it.
And then it got washed.
These, yeah, and the headphones survived.
Yeah.
But the iPod, unfortunately, didn't.
But, like, I got a few snapshots. I was looking at a few stories, and I saw this. So I looked at the snapshots, and it looks like it's actually... Like, there's actually quite a few. You know, you'd think there'd be... You know, usually when something's leaked, there'd be one photo and then,
yeah,
like, another one will pop up.
There was a video.
There's actually quite a few, and...
There was a video that was, that went out about this.
Yeah.
And there was a guy and you were showing the headphones.
But, it looks like it's, instead of having the round, circular, piece they stick into your ear, it's not as comfortable as some headphones that go the in-ear headphones.
They're a bit too big for most people's ears, the problem.
And they actually have it so that there's only a small piece of it going into your ear.
Yeah.
And the rest of it's sitting on the outside. It's pretty cool.
Yeah, so with these new headphones, interesting looking design.
Yeah. They look much more comfortable.
Yeah, it was a Vietnam website that reported it. And it has, I saw the video and it says, designed in Cupertino, or assembled in Vietnam. So, it's very interesting. The person, compared the two headphones. It's an interesting design. They reported that it was a lot more comfortable than the original and also a better sound overall. Although, reduced volume overall, but better bass.
Yeah.
So that's cool. So I'm really looking forward to trying out these new headphones
if they come out.
Of course, it is probably not going to happen, unfortunately. But
yeah.
Well, we'll see. We'll see.
Hopefully they come out.
Yeah. So the next thing I want to talk to you today about is PlanetSide 2.
Woo!
PlanetSide has been a multiplayer. Wait, massively.
Okay,
I have to say this because you know it. You're
I'll say it after. I'll say it after.
It's a massively multiplayer online first person shooter.
Yes.
Which means you go around and shoot people, and there's a lot of them.
And it. Or for short, you can just say an MMO or FPS.
It's too long.
But it's like, this has never been done. Like, name another one. Name another one.
Yeah. Okay. I don't know another one.
But it's really good.
Yeah. I mean, it looks very nice. Basically, you can have 15,000 people on one server.
Yeah. No, I think it's 2,000.
Okay, sorry. If it was 15,000, that'd be like crazy. Well, the maps are massive.
Huge.
The way it works is you capture... Let me go through the basics, okay? Yeah. First-person shooter, plenty of guns to choose from, plenty of vehicles to choose from.
And attachments.
You use their currency you earn their currency through the game, or you can buy the currency. That's how they make their money. Because this is a free-to-play game. And you can deploy certain vehicles. You can buy weapons?
Yeah, I think
you can.
So.
Okay. And there are different classes.
I'll explain the maps after.
Yeah. And basically, you, in a very simple terms, because this is a very complicated game.
Yes.
You have three... different groups of people, three different teams, I suppose.
Yeah, kind of factions.
Factions. And there are different capture points.
Mm-hmm.
And so whichever faction, has the most... or you have to try and capture all the capture points, really.
Yeah.
That's your ultimate goal, is to capture all those capture points. But of course, you have two other captions going against you. So it's going to be very difficult to capture all those capture points. And the maps are massive. Really, really big. So it looks really, really cool. The first PlanetSide came out in 2000.
12 years ago.
Yeah.
And then I think they've been, it's in like, PlanetSide 2 has been in development for 8 years now. So when PlanetSide was released for 4 years, they started working on the next one.
After it, yeah.
Yeah. But it's funny because I was looking at some of the trailers for this, and the people who played it, they played it religiously. Like, they literally, every day, they go onto it, and they play with their faction, and they just literally, they just played it all the
time.
So
it's kind of like another reality.
Yeah.
Because it's like one game for like the 4 years.
Yeah. And there's loads of people, and they'd actually make lots of friends on it.
Yeah, and you kind of stick to your faction once you join the faction.
But I'll explain the maps,
because
this is a very complicated game, as you said. So basically, the maps, they're split into lots of different maps, basically. So there's a big continent, and that's the whole map. And then it's split into territories, which are just sections of it. And I think it's every 30 minutes, every half an hour, you can drop into places, into different territories. So if, like, it tells you, you go up onto the map, and it tells you where all the action is, because these maps are huge. So you can just deploy in there, and you can drop down in a little drop pod. And again, right into the action. But you can only do that every half an hour.
That's right. Yeah.
Which is annoying. But I think they're going to change it because it's still in beta. And
I think they should make it longer, though.
Yeah.
Because if you can just drop out of the sky every, like, a minute in a drop
pod. Well, not maybe every minute. I was thinking maybe every 15 minutes. Half.
I think they should make it even longer.
What, like every
45 minutes?
45 minutes?
Yeah.
So that would mean if you were playing on the same server for 45 minutes straight.
Yeah.
And then you'd be able to drop.
Yeah, and then because, I mean, drop podding is a bit of a cheat, in my opinion.
Do you think?
Yeah.
Well, I guess there are tons of people now, and tons of different classes. But they all have different features, like there's light support, which has jetpacks and they can fly around the place.
That's cool.
And then there's heavy support. They don't have jetpacks, but they have like shields and stuff. And then you have energy and different things like that. It's kind of like Crysis, except it's on a bigger scale and then it's more strategic as well.
Yeah.
And you might be saying, yeah, that's pretty strategic, you know. Just leaving it at that, but not just that, but also each territory has a certain amount of each mineral, and you have to get as much minerals as possible. So you look at what mineral you need the most, and you go and you have a look around the map, you see different territories, and you say, okay, we need to capture this one because we need a lot of this mineral, and all this, and you have to go to different territories and kind of take over the whole map slowly. But it's, you know, the vehicles, all that, it's a very incredible experience, you know.
Mm. Mm.
But what I'm interested about is the servers. You know what I mean?
Yeah, because being able to support that many people.
Yeah, I guess what they'd have to have is few different servers, and they would support each like section of the map, and once you entered a new section of the map, you just get transferred or something. I don't know, but I don't know how they do it, but
no,
I were to do it,
they have to have some pretty heavy duty servers, I think.
Yeah,
because it would, every time you go to a new section, loading new section.
But what I'm amazed, what I'm amazed with is, it's free.
I know.
It's free to play.
Yeah. They're not going to make much money off it, being honest with you. You might... Yeah, well, the people who played the first PlanetSide, they're definitely going to pay for the currency. But New Year's, they're going to be like, I'm just going to mess around with this for a while. I'm not going to pay.
Well, I think it's going to be like Team Fortress 2, which you had to pay for. But they made it free, so you had to pay a bit. But then they just made it completely free to play, unless you wanted to get certain guns and stuff.
Yeah, right.
Unlock things faster. And there actually have been a lot of people who have done that.
Yeah.
They've made actually quite a bit on Team Fortress 2. And you have to remember, there's going to be so many players playing PlanetSide 2. Because PlanetSide 2 is just...
cool.
Massive.
And I'd be willing to pay for it.
Would you? Yeah. Mm-hmm. I would as well. I think they should.
The game mechanics are just... they're very similar to Battlefield 3.
Yeah.
Really polished, even at early beta stages.
And the graphics are incredible.
Yeah. Especially the... I love... sorry for going a bit off the graphics there for a second, but I love the way the vehicles handle.
Yeah.
It just looks cool. It's awesome. Awesome.
Mm-hmm.
The graphics are really amazing as well.
It's not futuristic. As good as Battlefield 3, but that's expected.
Do you think?
Yeah, because if you were to have that much detail in a map, and then, because the maps are so huge, you bring down your frames per second, harder to run, all that. And plus, Battlefield 3 is just insane.
Yeah, I have to have a monstrous graphics card to run Battlefield 3.
Yeah.
My new GTX 550 Ti.
My graphics card could just... barely just running it. Every once in a while it just freezes. And I'd be there with my gun, pointing it at someone. And I'm like, what am I doing?
But look, frames per second on a game makes so much difference.
It does.
I'd rather have frames per second than quality. So I think that finishes off our... nice conversation about PlanetSide 2, which we are both very excited about.
Woo, yeah.
Gonna be a cool game. There's a lot of coverage of PlanetSide 2 on the PAX conference.
Yes.
Which is currently going on. And
Gamescom, I think they were there as well.
Yeah, they were there, and they won numerous awards, even though it's not even finished.
Yeah,
not even near finished.
Best PC game of the year.
And it isn't even going to be the best. It's not even going to be a PC game out of beta of the year.
it's just gonna so be like amazing that they just had to give it to it. Remember,
yeah. It's just. Well, did so Battlefield amazing. Win PC game of the year last year?
Multiplayer. Multiplayer experience in Battlefield 3 is just incredible.
It's really good, like, yeah.
Well, I guess PlanetSide 2 is multiplayer, so...
yeah. So. Well, it deserves the best game of the year. Yes. Anyway, we're going to leave it there for today. It's not like I'm rushing off anywhere. We'll leave it there. yeah. Kevin? Follow him. Twitter.
Oh, yes. Twitter. My Twitter is... whoa. My Twitter is Space News Today. And
yeah. Check out his website, spacenewstoday.com.
Website is World Wide Web.
Period.
SPACE. NEWSTODAY
period.
Space News Today. Period. COM.
Which stands for...
don't know what
com.
That stands for, but that's com.com. So www.
Yeah, okay, Kevin, we got the mess. So you also got your YouTube channel, which has no videos on it.
Yes.
Battle Addict Gaming.
Yeah. I'll be...
tis the one.
I'll be putting montages and gameplay.
Have you finished that montage yet?
Stuff in my
buff. I'm working on it for 5 weeks.
The amount of clips that I have and the amount of editing that I have to do, It's just crazy.
Well, have fun editing, because I'm not doing that. But yeah,
I think I'll just put up that fun with a your new and stuff.
Have fun with your new channel, Battle Addict Gaming. You can follow me on Twitter at TalksAboutTech. I'm not going to spell that for you. and check out the website TalksAboutTech.com. Much appreciated again if you use our our Amazon link. And because, you know, it supports us, it talks about tech, mm-hmm. As we do this content completely for free. Right, you can check out our other shows, Midweek Tech, recorded live every Wednesday, 8:30 p.m. GMT, mm-hmm. same time as this show, with Ty Wagstaff. Kevin's show, Space News Today, tomorrow, Monday, at 8:30 p.m. as well. GMT. Kevin talks about everything space for people who are into space and people who are not into space, who don't know a clue about space, like me. And who want to find out more about space. So, Kevin, that's a great show, so check that out as well. Of course, this show is recorded live every Sunday at 8:30 p.m. GMT. So if you're around at 8:30 GMT, you know, you don't have anything better to be doing other than sticking some tech enthusiasts on who don't really know what they're talking about. you know, stick us on, join the chat room, and you can talk to us.
Yep. And if you have any interesting questions or anything like that, we'll be happy to answer them. So.
Not really, no. No, we would, yeah. yeah, so thank you everyone for watching or listening to this episode of Talks About Tech Weekly. And we spent about 5 minutes just doing the outro.
Yep.
That's how amazing we are. All right, thanks for watching.
I spent 4 minutes of that.